Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Diane Adams, and as always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week and God met your needs and you felt the presence of God dwelling in and through you, around you. You felt His arms of protection covering you, because that's what the Word of God is all about. God said He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and He wants us to know that He's in the middle of everything that goes on in our lives. Our lesson tonight, the title is, When God is for you, who can be against you? And what we're going to be studying is the ministry of judges. The ministry of judges. We're going to be in the book of Judges and the second chapter, and I ask that you read the entire chapter, but we're going to expound on the 16th through the 23rd chapter tonight. I pray that you had time to read the scriptures and expound on them. And, you know, when you read the Word of God, you should ask God, what is it in it for you? What He wants you to learn from it, and how can you apply it to your daily lives? Right now, I'm going to go ahead and play a song, because our lesson is talking about the faithful of God, the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of the disobedience of His children. And the title of the song is God is Faithful. Once the song has ended, I'm going to come back, and we're going to go to the throne of grace for prayer, with prayer, and then we're going to come back to the lesson. Listen and be blessed.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful, is,
faithful
our God.
Is our God.
Yes, He is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today, for I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today,
for I shall recover it all.
Faithful,
faithful, faithful is our God.
And that song was God is Faithful. And the songstress was letting us know that it's time to take back everything that the devil has stole from you. And you're going to reap your harvest. Don't you know that the things you do, whether good or bad, it's like a seed and you plant it. And in due season, in God's timing, it produces a harvest, whether good or bad. You know, sometimes people say something, I have a praise report and something good happened in my life today. You only receiving the harvest from what you had planted. And then sometimes, not all the time, things that's happened in our lives, you know, that we don't like, is sometimes what we planted. Not all the time, because you know the Bible teaches us that sometimes our trials, tribulation, and adversities is only a test. And other times our trials, tribulation, and adversities is what God uses to mature us to where he wants us to be as he molds us into his intended purpose. So, you know, the scripture also says you're going to reap what you sow, so just use that. You know, that's inevitable. It's like gravity. What goes up must come down. God say you got to reap what you sow, or he would be a liar. So we have to begin doing the things that God has asked us to do, learning how to treat and love on one another. Do good because it's the right thing to do. Share because everything that God has given you is not just for you. And be obedient unto the word of God. Give praises unto him. And he loves to dwell in the praises of his people. Now it's time to go to the throne of grace and prayer. And as always, you know, you have the opportunity to press the one button on your phone. I will open your mic, and you could pray over the airwaves for everyone that is listening. If someone would like to pray, press the one button. Since no one has pressed the button, I'm going to go ahead into the throne of grace on all of our behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, the great I am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of our faith. Lord, they say you are a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You're the great morning sun. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for another opportunity, another day to do the things that you expect us to do. I want to thank you for allowing me to go before your people with your word, dear God. I realize that I'm only giving information. The Holy Ghost is going to give the illumination and revelation, dear God. But I thank you for allowing me to be able to show up one more time. Lord, I know it's not predicated on me, but what you have for your people. Open up their ears that they may truly hear, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon the sick tonight, dear God. Look down on everything that's going on in your people's lives and bless, dear God. Look down upon the bereaved families, dear God. Have mercy upon all of us. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you just continue to be with us and guide us and circumcise our heart that we can truly learn how to serve you. Lord, I thank you for your son and I thank you for your spirit. And I thank you for your word. Because it's through your word, dear God, that we strengthen ourselves. And when we share the word of God, we strengthen others. So, Lord, I pray tonight that your word don't return void, that the Holy Ghost have a way, his way in this place on tonight, and that you will get the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, I pray that you are glorified and your people are name I pray. Amen. And thank God. Heavenly Father, we just love you. We can't make it without you. Amen. Since so many other callers have called in, I'm going to just repeat the title and the scriptures. The title of the lesson is, When God is for you, who can be against you? We're coming from Judges, the 2nd chapter, the 16th through the 23rd verse. As always, I want to give some background and a little bit of history on what we're reading, and hopefully it will give you the desire to read and research even more. When in Bible study, I could never cover everything in one lesson. And since we decided to go through the books of the Bible, and tonight we're on the 7th, I think it is, let's see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and we're in Judges. Yes, we're in the 7th book of the Old Testament, which is titled Judges. And, you know, it's supposed to get you interested enough to want to know more. You know, you can't just listen to what someone says. You have to find it out for yourselves. That's why 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says that we must study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightfully divide the word of truth. The Bible is saying you have to study it for yourself. Because if you always take what people say, you don't know if they're telling you something that's right. And a lot of times in the past, we listen to what our mama said or our daddy said. And if they gave it to you wrong, all of your life you are saying it wrong. Hallelujah. We have to study for ourselves so that we know and it becomes real in our heart, our mind, and our soul. And we will be able to articulate it with others. So when we started off in this thing, the way we go in the series, we knew that Genesis was the beginning. And remember that God made the covenant and the promise to Abraham in the book of Genesis. After that was made, the Israelites became, and well, God made the covenant with Abraham, and he promised that he would give them land that they would own. And God made that with Abraham in Genesis. Well, also in Genesis, God had told Abraham that he would make him a nation. So the nation of the nation of the Israelites became enslaved in bondage by the Egyptians. Then what happened? We went to the book of Exodus where we see they was delivered from slavery and bondage by the leader Moses. So that was Exodus because they exited out of Egypt. Leviticus, God said, since I'm going to make you a nation and I'm going to allow you to be my people and I'm going to be your God, I must establish some guidelines and rules for you to follow when you get to the new land that I promise you. Now, we also learned that the journey would have took a few days, but because of their disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, which was the next book, the book of Numbers, mean in the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, they wandered for 40 years because of a bad report from going out for 40 days and coming back with such a bad report. God said that I will give you 1 year for each year, each day you were out, and come back with a report like this. Hallelujah. So instead of the journey being a few days, it turned out to 40 years. We learned that in the lessons before. So we see we had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, They got the law of Numbers. They wandered in the wilderness. Deuteronomy. By this time, God was angry, and he told them that every male over the age of 20 that was war-worthy, that meant men who were able to go to war and fight, he said, none of y'all going to get to the promised land. So in the wandering of the 40 years, all of that generation had to die. So then it led to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means twice. It was where Moses decided to give the new generation's instructions before they went to the promised land. You have to remember that generation didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. They didn't see the Passover lamb, the angel that passed over the doorposts where the blood of the slain lamb was placed. They weren't there. It's the new generation. They didn't get to see the different plagues that God has set upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So Moses is taking time to give them the laws that God had established on Mount Sinai. Come on. He's giving them the laws that he established, but not only is he giving them the laws, he's now taking time to explain them, to expound on them, that they can make, could get it in their heart. Because you remember, these was the new generation that came in. The old generation had died out for their disobedience, and that's where they were. And in that book of Deuteronomy, Moses died for his disobedience. He didn't die for his disobedience, but he died. And because of his disobedience, he would not enter the promised land. Hallelujah. And his brother Aaron didn't enter either, and his sister Muriel didn't enter either. And we expound on why Moses didn't get to the promised land. So go check it out and see what was the problem with Aaron and Muriel. Now, then it came to Joshua. Moses died. Joshua took over. Joshua bring them to the promised land, begin the battles. And as you got to remember, there were people living on the land, Canaanites. On all of the land that God had promised them, there were people living. But what they had to do is go in and fight and take the land. Hallelujah. So remember that. So Joshua was a warrior, and he led them in their quest to get the promised land. Now we're in the book of Judges. I want you to know that Joshua has died. And when Joshua died and all the elders that was with him died, the people went crazy. They started doing anything that seemed right in their own eyes. They had soon forgot what God had done for them. And neither, if they didn't forget, they didn't care. They just wanted to do what seemed right to them for their pleasures, their enjoyment. They wanted to have their way. So God decided, the people was doing it their way. God stepped back, and he let them have it. And many times in the scripture, when you read it right now, he said the nation. He don't say my nation, because they wasn't acting like they even knew him. So he had to step back. And see, you don't never want God to step back on you. Some people say it's called when he allowed you to have a reprobate mind. That means when he's not going to be constantly convicting you of the things you do, he allowed you to have it your way, and then you got to have and suffer your consequences. You don't never want to have it like that, but now God has stepped back. And as they always do, they cry, Lord, 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 Lord. God hears their cry, and he comes to their defense. See, that's why I played that record, God is a faithful God. He might let you wallow in your own mess, but if he made you a promise at his appointed time, he's still going to deliver you out of the midst of your storm. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And then so this is what had been happening, and this was going on. But God decided to raise up judges. Now, there were 15 judges that God handpicked for the people. And the judges was to be used for military reasons as well as like a leader. They weren't priests, but a leader to keep the people in line with the things of God. So Joshua is dead. All the elders with Joshua had been died. And now God let the people have it their way. They back now up against the wall and they cry out to God. God said, okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise up judges. That's how the title of this book, Judges, got its name. And the author of the book of Judges is not known, but many people believe that the author was Samuel because they believe that the book was written after all of the events with Judges, and Samuel was the last noted judge. So our lesson is coming from Judges, the second chapter. And then we're going to read our lesson is coming from the second chapter of Judges, the 16th through the 23rd verse. And I'm going to read the 16th all the way through the 19th verse. And we're going to expound on that, and we'll keep going on. You see, Judges 2:16 through 23 says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto the judges. But they went away whoring after other gods and bowed down before them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. 18, and when the law raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judges and delivered them out of the hands of their enemies all the days of judges. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning and reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. You see, he said he raised up the judges. And the God, whatever judge God chose, if they had to go in battle, if they had to subdue the land, if anybody was oppressing them, God was right there with the judges. And the Israelites would always have victory. And it came to pass, 19, when the judges was dead. I'm reading the Bible, y'all. It's not Diane just talking. That they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. How you like that? In following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, they ceased not from their own doing, nor from their stubborn ways. This is when God decided to do a new thing by sending judges. He raised judges up to help the people. God will always have something that he can use to help you. You see, the time of judges nation underwent political and religious turmoil as the people tried to possess those parts of land that had not yet fully been conquered. Remember, God brought Moses on top of the mountain right before he died, showed him everything that he was going to give to his seed, his children. And then Moses led the people to the promised land. He didn't get to go on. Joshua superseded Moses, and God let the children know he was with Joshua. And Joshua did come and start conquering the land with them. And Joshua, like I said earlier, is now dead. Plenty of the land that they went, if you read the book of Judges, they went to some land. Every time, okay, let me back up. God had 15 judges. Every time they were in hot spots, God raised up another judge. So you're going to see in the book of Judges, you know, where they went to get this land and the people ran them away. They went to get another land and they couldn't get all of the people out. They couldn't subdue the entire land. And they began to live in a land with the people. See, that's where all these idol gods come from. Because they couldn't get all of the people off the land. Because God has taken his hand off of them. That they started commingling and living on the land with some Canaanites. You see, the tribes fought. The tribes even started fighting among themselves. I'm talking about the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen nation, began to stop fighting among themselves. They almost wiped out two of the tribes, the tribe of Manasseh and Benjamin. If you look in the book of Judges, you'll see it. Now, that's something. That's almost like black-on-black crime. That's why I tell you, ain't nothing new under the sun. You see, the pattern of behavior in the book of Judges is clear. The people rebelled through idolatry and disbelief. God brought judgment through foreign oppressors. Like, he'll bring somebody in to knock you down if you just want to be that hard-headed. God raised up a deliverer after that, or a judge. And the people repented and turned back to God. Excuse. When the people fell back into sin, the cycle started over again. Let me tell you how they would do. They start rebelling against God. Excuse. And then God moved back, and he let the enemy nation get the best of them. They start crying unto God. God steps in and bring a deliverer, another judge. They remain loyal to God under the judge, the new judge. For a while. And then, again, forgetting God when the judges died. And then they will go and return to their old way. You know, this is a vicious cycle. And it will start over again. And then over again. And then over again. This sounds like the same pattern we have in our lives. We do anything we think we're big and bad enough to do. We do what we think we afforded the privilege that we could do. We have it our way, and then we cry unto God. How many people you may know, you know, used to follow God, and now they make it up as they go. And they even have the audacity to tell you that it don't take all that to serve God. And the only question I would like to ask them, how much do it take? And who? How do you know what it takes if you're not reading the Word of God? Are you not going to Bible study? You don't attend Sunday school. And you don't stop by on Sunday services. You know? So what you coming up with, as you know, you making it up as you go. And when people say things like that, they don't realize. But what they saying is, this is the way it should be. This is the way it should go. This is all that is necessary. So when you say those words out of your mouth, what you are telling God is, this is the program, and God has to get with your program. But the devil is a liar. And that's what the devil does. He set that up in our mind and our heart till it becomes our reality, till we accept the perception, and the perception become our reality. And now we think it's real. You know, people tell you all kind of things. You know, I ain't never told nobody that going to church could save you. But God established the church. And if he did it for a reason. We can't make it up as we go. We can't take and want to put God in our box. And you sit down and you begin to believe it, and you believe it so long till you think it's true. First of all, if you're not reading and studying the Word of God, you don't know what it takes. So how can you come up with that it doesn't take all of that? Or only God, God only wants A, B, and C. Where did you read that? Where did you get it from? Unless it came out of your own mind. And you know you can't trust nothing coming out of your mind, because that's where Satan dwells, in the mind. So you have to watch what come out of your mind. And if you want to know what's on God's mind, and what's on Jesus' mind, and what's on the Holy Spirit mind, read the Holy Bible, the 66 books, which is your daily instruction for your daily living. You see, the Bible teaches that sin, when not controlled, can only escalate. So, you know, our parents used to tell us, you know, when we was young, we didn't do what y'all do, and y'all definitely telling the youngsters these days, but sin is going to escalate. It's not going to decrease. Here we see way in the beginning of the Bible, in the seventh book of the Bible, that the older generation didn't properly teach the young generation the things of God. And it leads to turmoil. You see, each generation got worse than the other. And by them not being able to defeat the Canaanites when they went to subdue the land, because remember, God had stepped back. The Canaanites, they saw dwelling among the Canaanites, and the Canaanites had all kind of gods. They had a god for every season, for every reason. They had many activities, and they had several places where they went to deal with these things. And it was a pleasing to the eyes, and I ain't going to say all, but some, and it had to be a majority of the Israelites. You see, to them, it appears as if, to them, that the God of Israel was just another God to be added into in the collection. Remember, this the younger generation now, like our young generation now. They may feel the same way. You see, they didn't realize that God was the one and only true God that could stand alone. And we know they didn't believe that because they was bowing down to other gods. You know, that's sometimes the things that we do. And remember, I never say y'all. I say, are you. I say, we. We use God when it fits our agenda. We give him time when we have time, sometimes, to spare. And sometimes we go to him only when it's convenient. So as the Israelites did, and as many times in our lives we do, we have to be careful how we treat God. You see, God promised Abraham. And because God promised Abraham, and just like when God promised you something, he's going to deliver it. You know, there was a scripture in the Bible. I don't know where I read it, so I can't tell you. But one time, the Israelites was being so disobedient to God. But God said, look, now is the time that I want to bring you to the next level. Not because you're doing what you're supposed to do. Not because you're being obedient or even listening to what I have to do. But it's now in my timetable to work what I have promised to Abraham. Hallelujah. You see, because if God said it, you can believe it. And we have to know that God delivered his people in spite of their sin and rejection of him. God wanted us to see that was the old covenant with Abraham. God was going to do a new thing in the new covenant, which is the New Testament with Jesus. So you see, as God kept being merciful on his people and showing grace towards them, see, some people believe that grace only came when Jesus came. But God has been a gracious God even in before the creation, even in everything that he created, even with the characters in the Old Testament. Because Abraham was a righteous man, God counted it as righteousness. And because of the righteousness and his faith, God granted grace. Hallelujah. When God delivered Noah and his family from the ark, that was grace. When God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk through, that was grace. When God allowed the death angel to bypass the doors where the blood of the lamb was spread on it, that was grace. When God allowed baby Moses to be taken out of the Jordan River, when Pharaoh wanted to kill all the boys of his age at that time, and the Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, and his own mother got to nurse him and got paid for it, that was grace. You see, when the angel of God visited a young girl named Mary, hallelujah, and told her that she would have a son, and his name would be called Jesus, Emmanuel. You see, that was grace. So you see, when God kept delivering his people in spite of their sins and rejection of him, presents a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Remember that. Reflect on that. It's a foreshadow of what is to come in the Old Testament relating to the New. You see, Jesus died to deliver his people, all who would ever believe on him, from their sins. Although most of those who followed him during his ministry would eventually fall away and reject him, still he remained faithful to the promise and went to the cross to die for our sins. Hallelujah. In the book that we study tonight, the book of Judges, is a testament of God's faithfulness. Even if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Though we may be unfaithful to him, just like the Israelites were, he is faithful to save and preserve us. Can I get a witness? And to forgive us when we seek forgiveness. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is faithful. And the scriptures tell us in Philippians that we could be confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is able to complete it. Hallelujah. But do you believe it? Do you trust him? And if we go to the 20th verse, and I'm going to read the 20th, 21st, 22nd, and the 23rd, and the angel of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I will also not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nation which Joshua left for them. He's saying there's some more land. You know, when I'm reading tonight in the book of Joshua, you know, they had 12 tribes, so they had to subdue 12 great parcels of little cities of land that everybody could have what they need. He's saying, now, I told Joshua all the land that there was, and what he's saying right here in this verse, he said, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nation with Joshua left when he died. You know, I'm not going to even work with y'all with getting them. And if you research it for yourself, you will see that all of the land that God has given has not yet been taken over. But I can guarantee you this, it will be. You know that the wars that's going on in Israel, they call them holy wars, because it's all coming from what you're reading here tonight, people. It's concerning the land that God told the Israelites to take over. But you got to remember, there were people living on the land. The people were the Canaanites, which was Ham's son, Canaan nation. And Canaan was cursed by God because of seen Noah in the tent naked. And even though that was so long ago when that happened, when God told him to get the land, it was already in the plan, but it was just now time to execute. God have a lot of things in for your life that he haven't decided to execute right now. It could be a prayer you've been prayed for and you thought it was all over and the answer could have been no, but it was just delayed. Come on, y'all. We talking about what God had promised Abraham on tonight, just coming to pass, and they weren't doing a good job with it or at it. And 22 says that through them I may prove Israel. Excuse. Whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein. I cut it off. God. And I'm on 22nd now. That though them I, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did or not. You know, sometimes God say, I'm gonna test you. I'm gonna see if you're gonna do it or you're not. But this is what I have to tell you tonight. You know, the Bible, the Bible asks us to study. But I want to tell you one thing, and you keep this in mind. If you never pick up a Bible and study the Word of God, God is going to still be God. God did not write the Bible so he could learn. He wrote the Bible to give you his promises for reproof. He gave it to you for instructions. He gave it to show you his love. He gave it to you for you could hear his voice. He gave it to you to establish a relationship. He gave it to you so you could see his son. He gave it to you so you could bask in the promises that he promised to you. He gave you that to let you see how faithful he is. So if you read the Bible or you don't read the Bible, God is going to be God. And if you decide to obey God or not to obey God, God is still going to be God. You see, it's all for you. And how fast and how far you go with it, it depends on you. And 23 say, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily. Neither delivered he them unto the hands of Joshua. You know, God get tired too now. You know, God is a patient God, and he's a loving God, and he's a kind God. But God get tired too. And because you wake up every day and you do it like you want and you have it your own way and you say it your way and you live it your way and nothing happens to you. You see, if God starts taking lightning and starts striking down people in the midst of their sins and disobedience, maybe some more people would take heed. But God said, you know, I want to love on you. I don't want to hurt you. I want you to accept me because you want me. You see, we learned that the enemy nations were still in the land because the Israelites had failed to obey God, and they were unable to drive them out. Now God would let the enemies to remain in order to test the Israelites. You know, it's almost like Adam and Eve when God told them don't eat the forbidden fruit. You know, before that, their way was so easy. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to plant. They didn't have to cut the grass. They didn't have to remove the weeds because there were none. They didn't have to work by the sweat of his brow. They didn't have to this. You know, they just got up and danced around the garden and saw all the beauty. And guess what? It wasn't enough. Eve allowed Satan to get in her head. And she did what she did. And then now we are all under the consequences of that sin because we receive a sin nature. See, that's like with the Israelites. You see, when, like God told them in the scriptures, when your forefathers, you know, were obedient, they had a much pleasant way. You know, Joshua marched around the wall when God was with him seven times and the walls came tumbling down. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. When they got to the Jordan River and had to cross over just like the Red Sea, God made the water heap up on each side and they walked through on dry land. That's how it was when God was with them. But this scripture is telling God, say, I will no longer take care of your battles. See, the battle wasn't theirs. It was the Lord's, but they wanted to take things in their on hand, and now they got to fight the battle. Hallelujah. You see, we learned that the enemy nations were still there because of their disobedience. And we realized by the Canaanites living within the walls with the Israelites' appetite seemed to wander more towards the things they was doing than what God has commanded. But you see, if we continue in disobedience, we invite God's discipline. Not because he enjoys our suffering, but because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as his child. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that the book of Judges is a testament of God's faithfulness. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Though we may be unfaithful to him, he is faithful to us. He will keep us as long as we allow ourselves to be kept. But this is what he says. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are a bastard. That's scripture, y'all, and not a son. Moreover, we have had fathers of our flesh, our earthly fathers, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to our heavenly Father that lives within us? That's our lesson tonight. And, you know, God is saying, you know, you respect and fear your heavenly Father, what more you should do for him. And God also says in another scripture that, you know, how could an earthly father with a sinful nature do good things towards their children? And he said, I, being your heavenly Father, what more do you think that I'll do for you? See, we have to remember what God has done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives. And that should be enough to make us want to do better, because we know better. To do what's right, because it's just the right thing to do. Our lesson for tonight. I pray that it has stirred up enough interest in you to go and read the book of Judges. And I want you to know there was 15 judges, and some of the familiar judges that you may be familiar with, one of them was Samson, Gideon, Eli, Deborah. You remember Deborah, the prophetess? She was a judge. And then we got Samson, you know the story of Samson and Delilah. That's in the book of Judges. I'm giving you some information make you may want to search. Eli, E-L-I, not Elisha, Eli, is in the book of Judges. And Samuel, you know, Samuel was the last judge before they was kings. And Samuel goes on to anoint Saul. And then he anointed David, who God had chosen. Because you see what happens after all of this and all of this and all of this repetition and all this vicious cycle, and they do and they don't do and they do and they don't do and they want God and they don't want God. After all of this coming about, they're going to have the audacity to tell God that they don't no longer want judges, but they want a king. God said, I'm your king. They kept going to Samuel, the last judge, bucking up against him and pleading with him to go to God on their behalf because they wanted a king. God said, I'm your king. God decided to give them a king. You know, sometimes God give you what you want, even though he knows it's not the best for you. But even when he do that, he's going to still work it out together for you good because he loves you and you his child. So God decided to let him have a king. And then that, I'm going into a whole new lesson, but I got 2 minutes. God allowed them to have a king, and that king was Saul. And then after they messed all up and did all of that, God allowed David to come. And we're going to get that in the book of Kings. And that's our lesson for tonight. The next book is the book of Ruth. I want to tell you that it has been said by theologians that Ruth was a part of the book of Joshua. In later years, it was separated. So, you know, next week is going to be the book of Ruth. I don't know the chapter, the verse, but we're going that way. And I have a caller. Caller, your number is 97591. Your mic is open. Hello, caller. Okay. Anyone else have any comments, concerns, prayer reports? You can press the one button. Okay, caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your line is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. I wanted to know about a Cainite. Is it like a Kenite? Is there a difference? Is it like the first murderer in the Bible?
No.
Or am
okay.
I totally confused?
All right. The Canaanite came from Canaan. Now, let me tell you who Canaan was. When they had the flood, Noah and the ark. Noah, his three sons, his three sons.
Yes, ma'am.
Wives was the only one saved on the earth. Right?
Right.
Okay. When Noah, sometime after Noah, the boat hit land and they were out. They had a lot of grapes, and Noah took some grapes and made wine. Noah got drunk. And when he got drunk, he took his clothes off. So Noah was in his tent, naked.
Now, Noah had three sons. Like, seduced his like, dad or something, like, you know, confused his father.
Okay,
no,
this
I'm
is
confused.
What happened. All right. His son, he had three sons, Ham, Seth, S-E-T-H, and Japheth.
Huh?
Okay, his son Ham went in a tent and saw his daddy naked, and he started ridiculing him and laughing and joking. He went out and he told his brothers. His brothers went in with two blankets or whatever, coverings. They walked in backwards. They spread it on their father, and they walked out. When Noah woke up, for some reason, he said he knew what had happened to him. Now, that's what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. Some people believe that some homosexual act had occurred. The Bible does not say that. All right?
I'm still confused. I didn't hear that either, you know?
Right. So don't worry.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know?
But Noah said, I know what you've done to me. And Noah, he cursed. God cursed Canaan at that time. And from all of that long time ago, and part of the curse was that God, they was going to lose their land. And now when the Israelites go to the promised land, and guess what? The promised land was where the Canaanites had been living, where the land flowed with milk and honey.
Honey, yes.
And everything was good. But God now, at this period of time, says, I'm going to let the Israelites have the land. How do you like that? So they go into the subdue land.
That's a statement right there, then.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
The Canaanites.
Sister Diane, that's a statement, then.
Yes.
The land
so
is not
Canaanites.
Good.
Right. So the Canaanites was Noah's son Ham's son. The Canaanites was Noah's grandchildren and generations. Noah had a son named Ham. Ham had a son named Canaan, and they became the Canaanites. And somebody else who have any information, you could press the one button, and you could give some more clarity if you would like to add to this. And Sister McBride, I thank you for calling in, and I thank God for you, your sons, and your grandsons. And we're going to continue to lift you up in prayer.
Yeah, and I want to continue to list all of our viewers and all of our listeners up in prayer. I love every single one of y'all. Please be patient with me. I'm just in the process of learning.
And you can call me anytime on the prayer line. You know that, Sister McBride.
I know. You're so sweet. I know.
All right. You be blessed. I have another caller. Caller, your number, this is the same call. I don't know if your phone is doing it, but your number is 975-1919. If you would like to speak, your mic is now open. There must be something wrong with the phone. Is there anyone who would like to make any other comments, ask a question about anything concerning this? You could do so at this time. Next week, we're going to be in the book. And see, as we go through these books, I encourage that you learn the books of the Bible. The old, the Bible consists of 66 books. There's 39 in the old and 27 in the new. And at this point, we have done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. So the next book is Ruth. So you can start reading Ruth now, because I don't think Ruth is a very big book. I don't quite remember. But I will post the chapter and the verses as soon as God decides to tell me what he wants me to bring to you guys. So if there are no more prayer requests, words of encouragement, anybody want to add comments or concerns or corrections to the lesson that went for tonight, you may do so at this time. If not, I'm going to do a benediction and we're going to close for the night. But I want you all to know that God loves you, and so do I. And we're going to go ahead and do a prayer benediction at this time. Dear Lord God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to have another lesson. Heavenly Father, let the words that went forth begin to penetrate in our hearts. Let us have a mind that want to know more and learn more so that we can do more. Bless all of the families that's in bereavement right now, dear God. The people needing a financial blessing, dear God. Praise report for all of the people that made money with their Valentine things on yesterday, dear God. Thank you. Thank you, dear God, for mercy and grace. Thank you for being such a faithful God. Thank you, even in the midst of our storms, our disobedience. You love us in spite of and not because of. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, if it's your will, we'll come back on next week. Same time, same station. And Lord, I know you will meet us here. All of these blessings and others in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. Well, that's our program for tonight. This is the last chance for someone to get in and say a prayer, make a comment, or anything. If not, see you next week. And I pray that God's blessing be upon you real good.